Then he says, they're at death's door. The angels of death wait for them. But if, oh my goodness, if you see a but and an if in the Bible together at the same time, pay attention. He's got something for you. But if a special messenger from heaven is there to intercede for a person to declare that he is upright, God will be gracious and say, set him free. Do not make him die, for I have found a ransom for his life. Then his body will become as healthy as a child's, firm and youthful again. Now, is that an awesome promise? So if we're in that hospital and we're in the jaws of death and the death angels are sitting there waiting and our bones are sticking out and we're not willing to eat anything, we're just starving to death and we look awful, and the right person comes in. That's what you need, isn't it? You need a man or a woman that knows how to pray the prayer of faith, that's walking in obedience to God's word. Let me show you in Job also, in Job 22, 29 and 30. I want to show you the importance of walking holy with God. If someone is brought low and you say, help him up, God, will save the downcast, then even sinners will be rescued by your pure hands. That's the scripture I wanted you to see. Is it important to have pure hands before God? If you and I can walk in purity with God, even a sinner, we can pray for a sinner and God will heal them. Isn't that something? Because of your pureness. Should that strike in the heart of each one of us, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I want to be pure in your presence. I want to be pure. Is that right? Amen. I want to be pure, Lord. In fact, here a while back, I used these verses. A man come by here, he called me first and said, Thurman, I've got a friend that's in the hospital in Denton and he's been comatose for the last several days. He said, been in the hospital for 6 weeks, and said, will you go over there and pray for him with me? I said, yes, I will. So he come by and picked me up. And as we started over to Denton, I said, first, I got to know something about this man. I said, how old is he? He said, well, I mean, he's about 60. I said, he's a friend of yours? Yes, I know him. I said, is he married? Yes. How him and his wife doing? He said, they're not. They're not getting along at all. She's moved out. I said, is he seeing any other women? He said, yeah, every once in a while, there's some woman comes over to his trailer where he lives, and she'll go in there and spend a night or so with him. This don't look good, does it?
No.
And so now then, he's in the hospital, and he's comatose. I just told my friend and his friend, I told him, I said, because this man is not putting God first. I said, you've told me he's a Christian. He goes to church once in a great while, not very often. I said, because he's not putting God first, because he's not getting along with his wife, because he's committing adultery with another woman periodically. I said, God is judging him, and that's why he's in the hospital. And I said, unless the right man comes along and pray for him, he ain't going to recover. He's going to die, and he may go to hell. Well, see, God said in his word, if you're a Christian, now this is difficult. If you're a Christian and you commit adultery, along with a lot of other sins, he said, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do y'all know that? So why in the world would a human being that calls himself a Christian go out and commit any kind of sin that God didn't like? And in fact, Galatians 5, 19, 20, 21 is where he says those things. We might read over those right quick. That scripture right there, that should put a desire in our heart to walk holy before God. Because if we walk holy before God, then we can go and pray for somebody like this man. I went over there and I laid my Bible on this man's chest and he's comatose. I said, Lord, first of all, I remit his sins. I realize that most people don't believe you can do that, but it's written in the Word of God. John 20, 23 clearly says, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Is that what it said, Jackie? So if God said it, I believe it. How in the world can I forgive sin? I can't. But who lives in me that can? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can. And that's why we have to remember who we are. I am not Thurman Scrivener walking around in the flesh. I am Jesus Christ walking around in the Spirit. Is that true? So anyway, I went over there and did all those things. And I prayed for the man. And the whole time I was in that room with that man was 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I remitted his sins. I spoke the Word of God over him. I prayed the prayer of faith for him. Closed my Bible and we walked out. I told my friend, I said, go back over tomorrow and he'll be sitting up eating. He called me that afternoon and said, Thurman, you ain't going to believe this. He said, yes, you will. He said, I went over to see my buddy today and said, he's setting up eating just like you said. I said, now then, you've got to do what I told you to do. You've got to tell him what the scripture says he's been doing is wrong. And if he repents and turns back to God and start putting God first, I said, he'll get to live several more years. But I said, if he don't, I guarantee he'll die. And then he might go to hell. Look what it says there in Galatians 5, 19 and 20. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. I wonder why this one's right at the front. Do we have any sexual immorality in the church today? Isn't it awful? Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activity, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feelings that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, I didn't write the book. So there may be a lot of Christians that don't make it to heaven. You say, but I'm washed in the blood. Well, when you get washed in the blood, you're supposed to stop sinning. Amen. Is that true? Yes. Yeah, you're supposed to stop sinning. You're supposed to become a child of God, and you're supposed to walk holy, and the wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. There's not supposed to be a divorce. The husbands are to love the wife like Christ loved the church. In fact, God went so far with the, he didn't say this for the girls. He just told you, you're to submit to your husband in all things. But the guys, he says, you are to love your wife like Christ loved the church. If you do not, I will not answer your prayer. Isn't that something? Because who is supposed to be leading the prayer in the home? The father, the spiritual head of the house. That's exactly right. When I think about these promises that God gave us, I told you about Caitlin a while ago. When I walked from Caitlin's room over to Kelly's room, Kelly was 6 years old. And her head is just ripped open right above her eyes. She's scalped back about that far. She looks terrible. And her little pelvics are totally crushed. And the doctor said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage. And it'll take 2.5 to 3 months for the pelvics to heal enough where she can start walking with a walker. And then she'll have to completely learn how to walk all over again. Now then, why do we just accept those kind of statements from a doctor instead of standing on God's word? Now, John 16, 23 and 24 says this. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. The truth is, you can go directly to the Father and ask him, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Now, as Christ lived in us, if we can use the name of Jesus to ask the Father in heaven anything, why in the world don't we do it? Why did I live so long in church? Mike, why did we live so long in church and not go to God? This lovely couple up here on the front, they'd been in another church for years and years and had never seen a miracle. They came here and started listening to me teach these principles. And it wasn't long after that, they was redoing their bathroom. And one day as they were doing the mud in there, he finally told Gracie's wife here, said, I'm done. I can't go no more. I'm hurting so bad, I can't stand it. And she made the statement, you know, honey, Thurman showed us in God's word where that if two of us on earth agreed about anything we ask him for, he'll do it. Amen. Is that right, Gracie? Right. That's what you told him. And so they prayed. She prayed over her husband. And when they thanked the Lord for his complete healing, guess what happened to Mike? He was instantly healed. Yes. And he and Gracie, neither one, never been the same since, right? They pray about everything. Just like Jesus says, in all things, give thanks and pray about everything. And it's a shame that we don't do that. We go through our whole life and never ask God to help us. And we get beat up on and everything else when all of the knowledge and the wisdom of the universe is in Christ and he's in us. And we won't stop to ask him how to do something. Especially us guys, you know. It seems like us men have got this pride issue. We don't tell me how to do that. I know I don't need God's help. I can do that all by myself. Is that the way we are? That's the way we are. We should humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And with Kelly, when I walked in there, in John 16, 23 and 24, look what it says. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. The truth is, you can go directly to the Father and ask Him, and He will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before, but ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. Now, that's another of those great and awesome promises that's in the Word of God. Now, these things are golden nuggets that are hid all over the Bible, aren't they, Jack? Amen. Yeah, they're all over the place. So why in the world do we not use these wonderful promises? Well, there's my little, she was like a granddaughter to me. My wife and daughter had kept her since she was born. I think she was only a week old whenever her mother started leaving her at our house. And so I used to play dolls with her. You know, I mean, she was a granddaughter to me. And that's the way I looked at it. And here she was laying there, tore all to pieces. And a doctor saying, she may not make it. She may die. And if she does live, she's going to have brain damage. And it's going to be 2.5 to 3 months before she can even learn how to walk again with a walker. And then she's got to learn for months. With a promise like that, what can I do with that? It all depends on if I believe that, right? Amen. You know, now if I believe that, I can do what I did. I said, Father, John 16, 23 and 24 says this, and I quoted that verse, those two verses. I said, now Lord, again, you said I could ask what I want to. Is that what he said, Tommy? I can ask whatever I want to. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't want any brain damage in her head. I want her head all put back together perfect, and I want no brain damage whatsoever. In fact, I want her to be sharper after this than she was before. What did he say we could ask for? Well, say, so why don't we do what he said? You see what I mean, young lady? So why just let her be normal, right? We want her to be better than before, right? And so I asked that. And then I said, now, Lord, you said, the doctor just said that her pelvis are crushed and because her seatbelt held, and it's going to be 2.5 to 3 months before she can even be healed up enough where she can start walking with a walker. I don't want that. You said I could ask for anything. So I asked you to put those little pelvis back together and do it so quickly that everybody here will have to know that only you could have done it. I want you to be glorified in this. I said, Lord, thank you. And I turned to everybody in the room and said, I guarantee my Jesus will do a supernatural healing on this little girl.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.